Welcome to Fusion, a show for Relay FM members where I talk to hosts from various shows about a single topic. My name is Stephen Hackett, and this month I'm joined by Alex Cox of Roboism and Casey Liss of Analog to talk about our media consumption in 2019. What is even TV? What does it even mean? No one knows. So anyways, Alex, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Excited to talk some TV.
Yeah. And Casey?
I'm doing well. It looks very Chicago outside. It looks like snow is imminent. But other than that, things are good.
You always do these great time lapses of snow falling in your backyard, so I look forward to seeing those. That's my TV.
Well, actually, I did one just a day or two ago, and we were threatened to get like 10 inches, which for Alex's benefit, that is well beyond blizzard for us. Like 2 to 3 inches is, you know, schools are closed for 2 to 3 days. It's really preposterous. But 10, 11 inches is full on a week of Richmond, Virginia shutdown. And it ended up that we got like 1.5 inches. And so I kept leaving my GoPro running for a day because they kept saying, no, guys, it's coming. It's coming. It'll be here. And it just never showed. And I was very sad. So what is TV anyway, you guys?
I don't know. That used to be such a simple question. And then we added things like TiVo, where it's like, oh, it's still TV, but it's time delayed, and now a bunch of people like I've never had cable. I'm not even a cord cutter. I'm a cord neverer.
Oh,
I didn't know
that. You're an OG corder.
That's right. Yeah, I'm a hashtag millennial, and I've never paid for cable. So for me, TV is whatever I can stream, like on my Apple TV or on the web, and it's sort of separated even from like the television set. You know, I watch a lot of TV on my iPad, but is it TV if it's Netflix? I don't know. So anyways, I thought we could talk about that. Alex, do you have any like strong feelings about where we are in 2019?
Honestly, no. My strong opinion is I am enthusiastic about what is to come because I am also a so-called millennial, and for me, TV was after school time and Nickelodeon mid-90s cartoons. And then high school happened, and I'll be that person. I was a nerd and, like, too busy for TV. And that's when Netflix also happened. So I would get seasons of TV over the DVD mailing service and then slowly started watching Netflix. So really, I haven't been a normal TV person since I was barely sentient. And I don't pay for cable. I've never paid for cable. I also am on a family plan for like Hulu and Netflix. So for me, TV is almost just like still a family communal experience, but it is experienced like across various states of us being like, oh, I see where you are in Great British Bake Off. Like, oh man, I lost my spot. So all of the small, like, oh no, I deleted my TiVo stuff that my older friends experience. For me, it's always been like, oh, we lost our place in Hulu.
You guys are making me feel really old, like really, really old. So I am what, 3 or 4 years older than you, Steven? I am turning 37 in a couple of months. And I vividly remember when I was very young, I would say, you know, first or second grade, we had, you know, a TV like everyone pretty much did, but we had this box that sat on top of the TV and it had a rotary dial on it. And my dad had stuck little numerals around the circumference of the rotary dial. And what you would do is if you wanted to watch Channel 6, you would find the little Channel 6 sticker, the 6 sticker, and you would twist the dial until it was pointed at 6. And then in the attic, the antenna would spin such that you could tune Channel 6.
Wow.
And I remember vividly being overjoyed by going to my grandmother and grandfather's house because they had cable, which meant, as Alex brought up, Nickelodeon. And so I could watch the one best Nicktoon of all time, which obviously was Doug. And I will accept no conflicting thoughts on the matter.
So that'll
and
just so,
Did you know the guy who created Doug was based out of Richmond? Just to let you know. But point being, I vividly remember being just overjoyed by being able to experience Nickelodeon and Double Dare and all the wonderful shows that it had. And eventually we got cable at home, and I actually still do have cable at my home, but I've been flirting a lot with the idea of cutting the cord because I've found over time that most of my TV consumption is either Netflix, occasionally Amazon Video, and oftentimes Plex, either my own Plex library or the Plex library of friends, which we can maybe talk about later. And I've found that there's not a lot of actual, like, terrestrial, traditional TV that I end up watching. And if I do, it's typically either sports or some god-awful Bravo show that Aaron has gotten me addicted to.
Yeah, it's funny that you say that. I almost think of TV almost the way people used to think of terrestrial stuff. Like, if it's gone from Netflix, it's like, oh, yep, those reruns have stopped playing on a channel or something. There are so few things that I actively buy. And if it's that, it's from iTunes. And right now it's kind of a dumpster fire, so I can rarely even find it. So that also barely exists for me. And so much depends on, you know, I plan on having CBS All Access in the spring because I'm going to watch Survivor. But that's only going to be like for 3 months, and then I'm going to turn it off and that's gone.
Yeah, that's very wild to me, the thought of doing it more a la carte like that. I mean, this is not a new concept. Obviously, this has been going on for several years now, but I definitely am cut from the time where you either do or do not have cable. And then once, if you do have cable, it's do you have the kind of, or does your family have the kind of disposable income to get Showtime and HBO and things like that? And we were always in the middle tier. We had enough for cable, but we didn't have enough to just piss the money away on like HBO and all those other premium channels. And so it's odd to me to think of this as becoming ever more a la carte. And this is even more interesting with all of the different shows that seem to be brewing for all these different networks. Like, certainly everyone seems to agree, myself included, that whatever this Tim Cook TV thing will be coming this year. And so there's no specific show that I've thought about that I expect to really want on Apple Video, which, by the way, is what it's going to be called. That is the final answer. But I'm expecting that I'm going to at least try Apple Video and see what happens. I don't know. What do you guys think? Are you interested in this Apple Video, Apple TV, Tim Cook TV thing? What do you think it'll be called? And are you planning to subscribe?
You know, when you said I have an opinion about, not an opinion, I know what this is going to be called, I was really thinking, like, outside the box, you're going to be like Uncle Tim's Family Fun Hour. But that doesn't seem
no.
too bad.
That would be
That's
better.
Creepy.
Yeah, well, remember Force Touch? A lot of things sometimes are thought through too much. But that seems... Actually, I totally agree with you because much like there's Apple Music, there's Apple Podcast, and I think Apple Video that's what it's going to be called. But I'm curious, do you think will it be bundled? And sorry to answer your question, I'm totally going to do it. I'm the fanboy. Also, I'm genuinely excited about some of the shows that they've put out there, and I'm sure it's going to be a free trial. You know, it could flop and then we all go back to normal and pretend it never happened, like Planet of the Apps. But for sure.
And ping.
Ping.
So what are you excited for then, genuinely? Because I have only heard, you know, the smatterings of what's coming from, you know, Upgrade and a couple other shows. But there's nothing that's jumped out at me as being like, oh, I'm excited for that. So are there any that you can think of or you could describe, maybe you don't remember the specifics, that have made you go like, oh, this sounds good?
Honestly, all of like the science fiction stuff they're doing, especially with Spielberg's Great Adventures. It wasn't on.
It wasn't
on when I was younger, but I saw reruns and was just enchanted by it. And I really don't understand why people are worried about the age or the amount of like sex, drugs, and violence that's in the content. Like, that's not all of the stuff I consume isn't like HBO. Sometimes you watch Doctor Who, a wholesome, fun, you know, that could be on Uncle Tim's Family Hour. And I don't know. I think that I think this was talked about on Upgrade, that I'm sure the money that they're giving these people who are, you know, A-list producers and directors, pretty much. And if they find it's a bad experience, they'll leave and go somewhere else, or maybe Apple will learn. I just want there to be more opportunities for people to be in the streaming space, because more and more folks just we're not for the first time, I feel like, well, one, it feels like there's too much, but also there's too much that I am personally interested in, which I think is a good thing. There, like, it's not like there's the one show with the woman star anymore, or the one show with the gay character. It's like this big smorgasbord, and it's all kind of on equal footing. It's not like you have to go to some strange art house place downtown, which, you know, is I can do because I'm in Chicago. But everything, you know, Amazon and Netflix swept the Golden Globes, and that's really exciting.
Yeah, it's, I mean, people have said this a lot, that it's just like a golden era of this stuff. So if you are a content maker, if you're a director or producer or writer, and you have a deal with Apple, and then they, you know, it doesn't work out the way you want, it's like, you can just go elsewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, there are lots of opportunity. Mm-hmm. And what's so exciting to me about that is that, this is kind of your point, but I think it's also kind of adjacent, is we get shows that never would have made it when there were a handful of networks that had to okay everything. Mm-hmm. You know, not only from the diversity angle, but just from like the different types of storytelling, different types of experimentation. You know, when we saw, and Breaking Bad's a good example, but there were shows before it as well, of like, this isn't so much a show as it is a 110-hour movie, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Like, a very different style. And that's been really exciting, and that's generally kind of the stuff that I like. I tend to feel myself drawn to that. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm excited to try out Apple's deal. I think there are several shows that have sort of, you know, details have come out that I'm interested in. But I'm looking at what I've got. You know, I've got Netflix. We added Hulu about 6 months ago, and you know, like, yeah, an Apple one will probably be added, especially if there's some sort of bundle with Apple Music, which just seems inevitable. Unlike the two of you, I have no idea what it's going to be called. I think there's a chance it's going to call it Apple TV. So you could watch the Apple TV service in the TV app on your Apple TV running tvOS. Like, that's the most Apple thing ever, right?
That's why I hope it's not called that, because, you know, I don't think it's going to be called that because of the confusion, or at least I'm just holding out hope, because Apple TV, the TV app, might be on Vizio and Samsung, all the other third-party TVs that iTunes is going to. I just hope that there's something... I just realized I'm selfish, and I want to be able to tell people about this and not have to explain, what does 10R mean? It's like, I don't even know. Just go get the phone. I'm sorry.
It's the blue one. Go get the blue one.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's so interesting, too, from like the perspective that we have of Apple watchers, of this is a really new business for them. And, you know, Netflix has always been in the media business. You know, they didn't always produce their own content, but that was sort of a natural extension. But you see companies like Amazon and Apple getting into this. And, you know, I think Amazon Prime Video is sort of, at least in our circles, sort of like undersold. There's some really great content there. Their Absolutely. Back catalog is also really good. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of great stuff going on Amazon Prime Video, and we all have it because we all subscribe to Amazon Prime for the 400 other things it gives us, right? It's like, it just comes along with the ride, and I found a lot of great stuff there too. But again, it's like a different type of business for Amazon. It's a different type of business for Apple, and that's where my interest lies mostly. Like, I'm not into the business of media like someone like Jason Snell is, mm-hmm. or even like Mike, where they like talking about the business of it and like the players and what this all could mean. And that's not really for me. My angle into this is, Apple is a consumer electronics company and a services company, and now they're gonna hire a bunch of great people. And to their credit, they've hired a bunch of great people. But I still think there's questions about what will this look like at the end of the day.
Very much so. And it's such a twist from the Apple that we're used to, because this seems to be like, I think them doing a old school Netflix sort of thing where it's just other people's content that's being you know, delivered to you. That I don't think we would find so surprising, or at least I wouldn't. But what I find so fascinating about this is the thought of Apple not pivoting, but, you know, moving and expanding into the realm of content creation as well. That is what I think is so interesting, because that is, you know, Apple's always been on the periphery of it. They've had iTunes since, what, 2000 or something like that? I'm sure you remember, Stephen, but ultimately it doesn't matter. The point is, it's been a long time. But it's always been other people's content. And for them to really be moving, and moving in a big way, into creating their own content and owning their own content is a very big departure. It would be similar to me in spirit if they became their own cell phone network or MVNO or something like that. You know what I mean? They've always ridden on everyone else's cell phone network. And suddenly we have Apple Network, or whatever god-awful name they would come up with, wherein, you know, part of your iPhone upgrade program is cell phone service, you know, and which on principle makes sense. I mean, there's a million and six reasons why it's a terrible idea, but on the surface, it could make sense. And that's not too dissimilar to me from what they're doing now, in the sense that they've always been close to these cell phone operators, but they've never been a cell phone operator. They've always been close to content providers, but never been a content provider. And that whole transition implies that they're leaving something behind. I don't mean it that way, but this whole change into embracing that is what I'm so interested by.
I think the difference is Apple has always framed themselves as a company for creatives and artists and folks who are making things. And I wonder if it's going to be something like Tim's on stage of, you know, we've always provided the tools to make amazing film and television shows, and so we decided to make our own, which feels more, I think they can pull it off in terms of the branding. It's whether or not the shows are good. And I really don't think the content restrictions matter. I mean, people want R-rated Marvel movies, and that's not going to happen. It was a huge scandal when Harry Potter went PG-13 instead of PG. So, you know, again, I think it's going to push the envelope in a lot of different ways. And at the very worst, it goes away. But those creators have, like, well, Apple gave me all this money, let me have all this freedom over at Netflix or Amazon.
Yeah, I'm just so interested to see where this goes. And I think that for many reasons, 2019 is shaping up to be a very interesting year for Apple and for people like us that like to flap our gums talking about Apple. I think between the earnings results of the last, you know, 2 weeks, whatever it was, and, you know, whether or not this hardware is as innovative as Apple seems to think it is, and the all the expectations around iOS 13, especially around the iPad, and this Apple video thing, you heard it here first, kids. I really think this is a fascinating time to have an interest in Apple and the goings on around Apple.
Yeah, I just realized I know what the name is. So it's okay. Apple service, and it's going to have movies. Stick with me, iMovie.
Oh, there are so many things I disagree with on so many levels that I don't know where I mean, I can't go up against the great Stephen Hackett, but do you just really want to have an eye in front of everything still? I mean, I miss those days for sure. I wish it was.
No, it's a terrible idea.
Apple services.
I'm old enough. I've been doing it long enough where I remember when iMovie HD got replaced by iMovie 08 and people freaked out. So I don't want to relive that particular conversation today. Before I let you go, I do want to talk about Plex for a second, because I think Plex is a really interesting player in this space. So for the uninitiated, you can add your own video into your Plex library, and we don't have to talk about where that video comes from necessarily. home videos you shoot.
All home videos.
And you can set up a couple different ways, right? So you can run a server in your home. You can have those videos accessible outside your home. So if you're traveling and want to watch your newest home video when you're on the road, you can just stream it. But then there's also the sharing aspect where you can share it with friends. And so you can kind of build your own personal media library and kind of like run your own little streaming service. And Casey, I know you're deep into this world, much more so than I am. And I think more so than Alex is as well. So like, Casey, for you, where does Plex fit in with these other services you have, with the cable you have? Like, what sort of ground does Plex have to stand on?
Yeah, so it is exactly as you described. So Plex is both a client and a server, and you can have a Plex account. And this is the way Mike is doing things, as far as I know. He has a Plex account, but he doesn't run a server in his house. He simply consumes from his Plex friends. And so that means, because we are Plex friends, you know, Mike can stream anything I have on my Plex server directly to his devices. And he can do that without any intervention on my part. You know, once I blessed him as a friend, then he can stream all of my stuff. And that's true for the two of you guys as well. And what ends up happening is you have your own like mini Netflix, which is exactly what you said, Stephen, that once you build up two or three or four friends, especially if you guys don't have an overlapping, you know, library, if you don't all have, you know, every Mad Men and every Breaking Bad, if you actually have different shows, it ends up that it's often that almost anything I want, I can find on one of my friends' Plex servers, and then I can just stream it right to my home. And so I found that a vast majority of the time I spend watching TV at all is through Plex in some way, shape, or form. And I would say almost the entirety of my third generation, I think it is, whatever the 1080 the new 1080 Apple TV is, not the 4K era, but the one from 2 or 3 years ago. Anyway, it doesn't matter. That Apple TV box in my house is almost exclusively a Plex client. Mm-hmm. It occasionally does Netflix. It occasionally does Amazon Prime Video. But 98% of the time, that thing is using Plex. And what's great about Plex is if you have home movies or something else, you can, if you just name the files the way that Plex expects, which is not complex, Plex, get it. I'll be here all week, guys. It will find all the metadata, find the poster for it, and just set up everything up real nicely for you. And additionally, Plex, if you pay them for Plex Pass, which is their pay add-on, which you can get a lifetime Plex Pass for under $100, you can actually get an HD home run, which is basically something you plug an antenna into one side and an Ethernet cord into the other, and that puts your terrestrial over-the-air HD television, your local channels like ABC, CBS, Fox, etc., that exposes them to Plex, and Plex can even act as a DVR. And so that I've been doing some of that as well. And it's just, if you haven't tried Plex, I cannot recommend it enough, especially if you have friends that use it as well, because that's when it gets really magical, is when you have this personal private network of all of your friends and all of their media. And that's what makes it so great. I don't know, Alex, you're relatively deep into this as well. Anything you can add or maybe clarify on that?
I mean, I'm deep into it in that I'm also a Plex leech. Surprisingly, Jeff Probst shows up in a lot of my friends' home videos, but I never really thought about it. Like you said, it is kind of like a personal, like, sharing network, if you like our own personal libraries. Well, not mine, I'm just a leech, but I often worry. I'm worried about Plex going away, and I wonder if it would appeal to me if it wasn't so, you know, so seamless and set up so wonderfully by a lot of my friends. I remember, oh man, I forget the name of the service. It was like Box. It was based on the like Xbox Media Server, Boxy maybe. I don't remember, but That used to be when I got, you know, I couldn't afford stuff, so I got all of my home movies over the internet for free. And that was when things felt a little less ephemeral, because there were very few streaming services, and there were very few streaming music services, too. So things still felt a little more like, okay, I own this. This is part of my own personal library. Whereas now, I kind of wonder where Plex plateaus, I guess. And
oh, that's interesting.
And
yeah.
And I mean, I really, really like it. And the things it can do with the metadata fascinates me. I mean, I kind of understand it, but every time I scratch the surface, I'm blown away about how far they've come. I mean, I don't really have anything to add other than I wonder if stuff like this, as more and more streaming services pop up, if slowly and those streaming service, you know, taketh away, like the whatever the new Disney thing is, I wonder if they're going to go back to what used to be the Disney Vault, where, you know, they'd release something. I know. They'd release something on VHS or DVD, and you could only get it for a short period of time, and then it was taken away. And I wonder if that's going to kind of happen with their streaming services. And then again, we're going to have our own personal libraries. So I guess that could be where it's going.
I hope not. But I think you're right. And certainly, as our ownership model of media is moving more and more towards subscription, I think I never thought of it that way until you said something that was very astute of you. But I think you're right that the whole idea behind Plex is that it's sharing the things that you own, the files on your hard drive. And as those files dry up and disappear, then what purpose does Plex really serve anymore? And that is an uncomfortable thought that I'm not going to choose to put a thread I don't want to pull on, because I love Plex so damn much and I really don't want it to go away. And I can absolutely see what you're saying, Alex, that in this 100% streaming future, maybe Plex would go away, and that would make me very sad.
I've also been thinking about it. Does Plex support RSS?
I don't know. I mean, there's now podcast support. I don't know if that includes video podcasts or not, but there is some modicum of podcast support. I'm not sure if it supports RSS for video-related things, but I've never really tried.
Yeah, I just realized the main thing I'd probably want to use it for now and in the future is, maybe you were talking about this, and I just, my amoeba brain latched on, of all of the podcast shows that I loved dearly as a kid, and I have the video of the first time I saw Merlin Mann talking about Quicksilver on Twit TV, and it's not available on the internet. I'd be like, hey buddy, do you have this weird thing that you talked about like 10 years ago? And there's stuff like that, or really talks that kind of like changed, were really significant and changed my life. And will it be relevant to me in 20 years? I don't know, but it's a comfort knowing it's there, and it would be cool to have a place to share it with people I care about.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope that Plex is able to roll with whatever the future of media consumption is. You know, in some ways, I almost feel like they're very well set up to be the omnivorous box that Apple and seemed to want to be a couple of years ago. You know, if you recall, before, I don't know, maybe it was WWDC 16 or 15, where we all thought we were going to get that Apple TV service where, you know, it's just this nice front end that's kind of like a cable box, but not.
Yeah.
In some ways, I feel like Plex is getting ever closer to that fantasy end point. But of course, the only way that really works is if they can have access to CBS All Access and Netflix and this and that and the other thing, which once upon a time, I think they did have access to Netflix way, way, way back in the day, but I think that got cut off. And so I don't know. I hope that Plex is well positioned to be able to roll with whatever that future is, but we'll have to see.
Totally.
Yeah. I definitely feel like whatever's coming, it's going to, in a year from now or 2 years from now, the landscape could be even different from where it was 2 years ago, right? It's like it's an ever evolving space. And it's exciting if you're into this sort of stuff, but it feels like too, it's a lot more work to keep up with what's good where.
Yeah.
Maybe Siri can solve that for us all.
I'm just kidding.
If you want to find Alex and Casey online, I've got some links in the show notes. You can go find their shows, find their Twitter accounts. If you're listening to this and you're not a Relay FM member, it's okay. We still love you, but you should go support a show. So go to relay.fm/membership. I would recommend Roboism or Analog. Support these two lovely human beings and the shows they do here on the network. You can find show notes this week at relay.fm/fusionmembers/22. And until next month, adios.